Jnanatimirandasya Jnanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nilitham Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Shtapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Garamahyam Tadati Svapadantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nivishesha Shunyavadi Paschatyadi Shatharine Vanchakapatrubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vinda Today, as we approach the most auspicious day of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance, we are continuing with discussion of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I confess, I don't know what part or section or topic was discussed yesterday. I believe you began yesterday discussing Mahaprabhu's life. Can someone give me a very quick orientation? The whole story in three books. Okay. Sorry? Childhood pastimes? Uh-huh. Okay. Today is Madhavendra Puri's disappearance day. Oh, thank you. Should say something about Madhavendra Puri as well. Okay. I thought to speak on a kind of theme of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. We speak of Lord Chaitanya as Mahaprabhu, the great master. And certainly appropriately so. And we recognize him as not just avatara, but avatari, as the source of all avatars of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Also, appropriately so. Yet we also see in Mahaprabhu's pastimes that he often takes the role, not of master, but of servant. In fact, one could say that is the very characteristic, the special characteristic of Mahaprabhu, that he is the great master because he is the great servant. He is the supreme personality of servitor Godhead in his original form, avatari. And within that context, he also plays a role several times as student. He allows others to teach him. And in many of these incidents of being taught or playing the role of being teacher, he then becomes the teacher of his teacher. So this is an interesting pattern, and I thought we could reflect on this beginning again with Mahaprabhu's childhood pastimes. Long before he is known as Mahaprabhu, he is Nimai, he is Vishvambar, he is Nimai. Eventually he becomes Nimai Pandit, only later to become Sri Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and then again later to be known as Mahaprabhu. In fact, in many of the verses of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he's simply referred to as Prabhu. So I thought we can start with chapter 14 of Adi Lila, the pastime you all know as Nimai is a young lad, quite young apparently. We have up verse 24. Yes. Okay. Let's chant this together. Ekadina shachika isandesha aniya. Ekadina sachika isandesha aniya. Bata bhari dhiya baila khauta basiya. Bata bhari dhiya baila khauta basiya. Ekadina sachika isandesha aniya. Bata bhari dhiya bhaila khauta pasiya. Others. Dina, one day, Sachi, Mother Sachi, Kai, fused rice, Sandesha, sweetmeats, Aniya, bringing, Bharta, Bahata, tiffin dish, Bari, filling, Diya, delivering, Baila, said, Kau, eat, Da, now, Boshya, sitting down. Translation, and we don't have a purport for this, several verses I want to, or a few verses from this, we'll read together. Translations by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, one day, while the Lord was enjoying His playful sports with the other little children, Mother Sachi brought a dish filled with fused rice and sweetmeats and asked the child to sit down and eat them. Atta bali gela sachi grihe karma karite lukaiya lagila shishu mrittika kaite. But when she returned to the household duty, to her household duties, the child, hiding from his mother, began to eat dirt. Dakki sachi danya aila kori haiya hai. Mati kari laya kahe mati kene kai. Seeing this, Mother Sachi hastily returned, exclaiming, "What is this? What is this?" She snatched the dirt from the hands of the Lord and inquired why He was eating it. Kandiya valena shishu kene kara rosha tumi mati kaite dile mora kibadosho. Crying, the child inquired from his mother, "Why are you angry? You have already given me dirt to eat. What is my fault?" Kai sandesh anna joteka mati rabikar eho mati sheho mati kibhedabichar. Fused rice, sweetmeats, or anything edible is all but a transformation of dirt. This is dirt, that is dirt. Please consider, what is the difference between them? Here one can just mention briefly that Mahaprabhu Nimai is, in a sense, making a parody of the Chandogya Upanishad. In one passage of the Chandogya Upanishad is the famous discussion about earth and pots, and how, or clay and pots, mrittika, that from clay you make pots, but what do you have when you have pots? You simply have clay. And this is taken as an argument by the Advaitavadins as an essential point of the Upanishads, and therefore an essential point about the understanding of what is Brahman. So we can say that here there's a kind of spoof going on. Mati deha mati bakya dekka havichar avichare deha dosha ki bhalite pari vichari pari. Sorry. This body is a transformation of dirt, and the edibles are also a transformation of dirt. Please reflect upon this. You are blaming me without consideration. What can I say? Srila Prabhupada gives a somewhat longer purport to this. I won't read the whole thing, just the first paragraph purport. This is an explanation of the Mayavada philosophy. What? Nimai is speaking Mayavada philosophy. Which takes everything to be one. The necessities of the body, namely eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, are all unnecessary in spiritual life. When one is elevated to the spiritual platform, there are no more bodily necessities, and in activities pertaining to the bodily necessities, there are no spiritual considerations. In other words, the more we eat, sleep, have sex, and try to defend ourselves, the more we engage in material activities. Unfortunately, Mayavadi philosophers consider devotional activities to be bodily activities. They cannot understand the simple explanation in Bhagavad Gita, mam cha yo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityayatan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. Anyone who engages in spiritual devotional service without motivation, rendering such service for the satisfaction of the Lord, is elevated immediately to the spiritual platform, and all his activities are spiritual. Brahma Bhuyaya refers to Brahman, spiritual activities. Although Mayavadi philosophers are very much eager to merge in the Brahman effulgence, they have no Brahman activities. To a certain extent, they recommend Brahman activities, which for them mean engagement in studying Vedanta and Sankhya philosophies, but their interpretations are but dry speculation. Lacking the varieties of spiritual activity, they cannot stay for long on that platform of simply studying Vedanta or Sankhya philosophy. This, of course, is going to be a repeated theme throughout Chaitanya Charitamrita, and this will be a way in which the Lord, so to say, learns and then teaches. So it becomes a kind of pattern. In this case, we hear, first of all, Mahaprabhu complaining to his mother, "Why are you complaining about me eating dirt if it's all the same, if it's all one?" Giving Mother Sachi the opportunity to teach Lord Chaitanya, and then he will say, "Oh, thank you very much for straightening me out." Skipping to verse 31 and just going to the translation, she says, replying to the Mayavad idea of the child philosopher, Mother Sachi said, "My dear boy, if we eat earth transformed into grains, our body is nourished and it becomes strong. But if we eat dirt in its crude state, the body becomes diseased instead of nourished, and thus it is destroyed. In a water pot, which is a transformation of dirt, I can bring water very easily. But if I poured water on a lump of dirt, the lump would soak up the water and my labor would be useless." And again, jumping here, Prabhupada is elaborating on what is the argument here against the Mayavadis. In the next verse, then the Lord responds, "Why did you conceal self-realization by not teaching me this practical philosophy in the beginning? Now that I can understand this philosophy, no more shall I eat dirt. Whenever I am hungry, I shall suck your breast and drink your breast milk." And that's practical conclusion. After saying this, the Lord, smiling slightly, climbed on the lap of his mother and sucked her breast. So this is a charming way that the Lord is teaching by first learning and giving opportunity for his, in this case, his mother, his own mother, to take the superior position. Speaking of parents, we get the situation also of Nimai's father insisting on teaching, or one might say scolding, his son. That comes in the same chapter, starting verse 83. Yes. Akadina Mishra Putre Chapala Dekya Dharma Chikka Dilabahu Bartshana Kuriya. On another occasion, Jagannath Mishra, seeing the mischievous acts of his son, gave him lessons in morality after rebuking him greatly. Now, please correct me, but if I remember accurately, this is elaborated extensively in Chaitanya Bhagavata and Chaitanya Mangala, that the mischief that Nimai is getting into is that he is harassing the pundits, the Brahmins in the Ganga. Am I right? That's what Jagannath Mishra was angry about, that Nimai would dive into the water as they would be standing half to the waist, trying to concentrate on chanting their midday Gayatri mantras, right? And while they would do that, Nimai would dive under the water and dive between their legs and upset them in their meditation. And of course they would complain to his father, Jagannath Mishra. On that very night, Jagannath Mishra dreamt that a brahmana had come before him speaking these words in great anger. Mishra, tumi putre tattva kichui na jano, borchana tarana koro putra korimano. My dear Mishra, you do not know anything about your son. You think him your son, and therefore you rebuke and chastise him. Mishra kahe, deva siddha muni kene noi, jeshe bodha hauk matra amarta noi. Jagannath Mishra replied, this boy may be a demigod, a mystic yogi, or a great saintly person. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter what he is, for I think he is only my son. He may be a demigod, he may be a mystic yogi, he may be a great saintly person. He doesn't say here, he may be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It might be that if he had been conscious of that, he would have stopped short of insisting in the way he is. Putre lalana shika pitar shadharma amina shikale kaiche janibe dharma marmo. It is the duty of a father to educate his son in both religion and morality. If I do not give him this education, how will he know of it? Presumably, Nimai is by this time older than 5 years. As we know, Srila Prabhupada would refer to the common proverb in India that the first 5 years you indulge a child. From 6 to 16, am I right? You discipline the child, and then at age 16 you make friends with the child. Is that right? Something like that. So apparently Nimai at this stage is older than 5 and younger than 16, because Jagannath Mishra insists on punishing him. Viprakahe putra jadi daiva siddha hoi, shatta siddha jnana tave shiksha bharta hoi. The Brahmin replied, if your son is a transcendental mystic boy with self-effulgent perfect knowledge, what is the use of your education? He does have a point here, doesn't he? Jagannath Mishra replied, even if my son is not a common man but Narayan, there it is, still, it is the duty of a father to instruct his son. In this way, Jagannath Mishra and the Brahmana discuss the principles of religion in the dream, yet Jagannath Mishra was absorbed in unalloyed parental mellow and did not want to know anything else. Being very much pleased, the Brahmin left after talking with Jagannath Mishra, and when Jagannath Mishra awakened from his dream, he was very much astonished. Well, here is a kind of contrast, because Jagannath Mishra is insisting on keeping his role as the superior, which of course is very much relished both by him and by his transcendental son. He may even be Narayan. I don't care. He's my son. I have to discipline him. At some point, and I may be covering material you already discussed yesterday, Nimai becomes a student, and eventually he'll become Nimai Pandit. He becomes a student of Gangadas, and I believe a couple of others are mentioned. There's a purport in which Prabhupada mentions Bhaktivinod Thakur. I don't have that at hand. Bhaktivinod saying that he had two other teachers. One was a certain Vishnu, Vishnu, and I don't recall the second one. In any case, Ganga Das was one of these teachers, and again, that would be elaborated in Chaitanya Bhagavata. The one I thought we could focus a little more on from Chaitanya Charitamrita is the case of Keshava Kashmiri. In chapter 16, if we go to verse 32, one moment, verse 32, 16 of Adi Lila, yes. Vyakarana madhye jani paraha kalapa shunilun bhankite tomar shishira shonglapa. I understand that you teach kalapa vyakarana. I have heard that your students are very expert in the word jugglery of this grammar. This, of course, is Keshava Kashmiri speaking. Keshava Kashmiri, by the way, is also known as Keshava Bhatta. And according to some sources, well, it is recognized in the Nimbarka Sampradaya that there was a Keshava Bhatta who became highly respected, a very prolific writer, and he became known as Keshava Kashmiri after visiting Kashmir and prevailing over the local pundits and apparently converting them to Vaishnavism. So Keshava Kashmiri is himself a Vaishnava, something which is not indicated so clearly in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He is a Vaishnava of the Nimbarka Sampradaya, according to the Nimbarka tradition. So here he is, meeting with this young, now known as Nimai Pandit. The Lord said, "Yes, I am known as a teacher of grammar, but factually, I cannot impress my students with grammatical knowledge, nor can they understand me very well." Here, Nimai Pandit's taking the humble position. He says, "I'm trying to teach my students. They don't really get it. So I'm not really the best of teachers. My dear sir, whereas you are a very learned scholar in all sorts of scriptures and are very experienced in composing poetry, I am only a boy, a new student, and nothing more. Therefore, I desire to hear your skill in composing poetry. We could hear this if you would mercifully describe the glory of Mother Ganges, Ganga." We all know that story. I won't continue with this, how this proud pundit proceeds to recite verses to Mother Ganga like the wind in what seems to be perfect Sanskrit poetry, only to be humiliated by Nimai Pandit, who in one particular verse, was it verse 5 out of 100 verses, finds... Oh, thank you, 64. Verse 64 of the 100 verses that he... Okay, whatever. He finds what? Not one, not two, but three or four or five faults. And in this way, embarrasses greatly this great pundit. So we have the teacher, the reversal. We have Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit being the teacher of his students, saying, "I'm not a very good teacher of them. You should teach all of us." He does his teaching thinking that this will be an easy conquering. He's a Digvijaya who wants to conquer the pundits of Nadia, only to be embarrassed by this young upstart who is able to recognize faults in his so-called perfect poetry. All of this to the illumination of Keshava Kashmiri when he experiences that it is in fact Mother, it is an arrangement of Mother Saraswati for his own humiliation, so that he can take his proper position as servant, to take his proper position as, indeed, as student of Mahaprabhu. Well, moving on from there, and considering the time, we certainly have to mention Mahaprabhu's relation with Ishwarapuri. And here we see that Mahaprabhu is taking the position as a student, as a disciple of Ishwarapuri, such that he submits himself to Ishwarapuri to become his disciple. When Ishwarapuri then gives him officially the Maha Mantra, what happens? Mahaprabhu takes the instruction to heart to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and as he chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, something happens to him. He cannot understand the experience he's having as he chants the holy name. Perhaps he's doing it wrong. Why is he experiencing all these strange, crazy feelings that he's having? And so he goes to his master, to his guru, Ishwarapuri, and reports to him his problem. He goes to him as a student, asking for counseling from his guru. And his guru performs that duty very nicely. He first listens to him carefully. He lets Mahaprabhu report to him what is his experience. And then, after hearing what is his problem, he tells him, actually, you don't have a problem. This is the goal. This is what is desired. This ecstatic experience from chanting Hare Krishna is exactly what we want. And so, again, in effect, it is Mahaprabhu taking the position of teacher. We don't read that Ishwarapuri was experiencing these ecstatic symptoms in chanting the Maha Mantra. We read rather that it is Mahaprabhu experiencing these ecstatic symptoms, and Ishwarapuri appreciating the full realization of his so-called, one could say, so-called disciple. Again, with Keshava Bharati, whom Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts as his sannyas guru. At the radically young age of 24, Mahaprabhu decides it is time to give up the world of family duties, the world of social duties, to give up the world in order to go to the spiritual world. His actual intention, it seems, from much of the narrative of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is to take sannyas and go to Vrindavan, and that would be it. He wants to leave, go to Vrindavan, and never come back, which is exactly what his friends and his disciples and followers are afraid of. They don't want him. In any case, he makes this determination. He will take to the formal order of sannyas. From whom? From Keshava Bharati. And in this exchange, it is on the one side Keshava Bharati as his sannyas guru. On the other side, it is Keshava Bharati who is on the receiving end of the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for accepting him as his sannyas guru. It's also understood that Mahaprabhu chants the mantra for sannyas into the ear of Keshava Bharati, so that Keshava Bharati can then turn around and chant the mantra into Mahaprabhu's ear. So you have this interesting kind of circular relation. The one teaching the other so that he can teach the one. A kind of transcendental loop of transcendental knowledge being exchanged. Well, then we go to and we move now into Madhya Lila, the famous exchanges going on between Vasudeva Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He's referred to in Chaitanya Charitamrita as simply Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu has just received sannyas from Keshava Bharati, and he has arrived at Puri. And according to Krishnadas Kaviraj, and I say that according to because there are other versions, there are other accounts. Kavikarna Pura gives a significantly different account of that first meeting. In any case, from Krishnadas Kaviraj, we hear that Mahaprabhu enters the temple only to faint before Lord Jagannath. I was also viewing the film Neelachal Mahaprabhu, in which it's a very interesting portrayal of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how he is very much the pundit of the region, who seems also to be rather well-to-do. Of course, this is, you know, film style. He has a quite nice house. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes a kind of embarrassment because of his ecstatic symptoms. And Sarvabhauma doesn't seem to know really what to do in this situation. He's upsetting the apple carts of the pundits' ordinary course of doing things in Puri. Okay, let me get to where I was hoping to go from. There's even a mark here saying this might be the place from which you are in any case reading. Text number 58 of Madhya Lila chapter 6. Okay, this is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya speaking. He says, Tumi jagat guru sarvaloka hitakarta vedanta padao sannasira upakarta. Because you are a teacher of Vedanta philosophy, you are the master of all the world. Sorry, this is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking. You are the master of all the people in the world and their well-wisher as well. You are also the benefactor of all kinds of sannyasis. And Prabhupada is explaining why this term Jagat Guru is being used here in his purport. I am a young sannyasi and I actually have no knowledge of what is good and what is bad. Therefore, I am taking shelter of you and accepting you as my spiritual master. I have come here only to associate with you and I am now taking shelter of you. Will you kindly maintain me in all respects? The incident that happened today was a great obstacle for me, but you have kindly relieved me of it. This refers to his fainting. Occasionally, Mahaprabhu is excusing himself for his ecstatic symptoms. He will do this also when he meets... Prakash Ananda. He will also kind of say, oh, I'm sorry that I'm like this. What can I do? He will also excuse himself, or he has excused himself to Mother Sachi after taking sannyas. When they meet at the home of Advaita Acharya, he begs forgiveness. He says, I'm so sorry. Some madness came into me. And so I've done this. I didn't really mean it. It was a mistake. But what's done is done, so please instruct me. What should I do now? Again, he takes instruction from his mother. Here, he's what would have to be called a quite formal submission. In a quite formal submission, Mahaprabhu is approaching... Not really approaching, he's been approached by Sarvabhauma, who is doing something that seems to happen rather frequently also in contemporary India, that it's not only the case that the disciple is coming to the guru begging to be the to be a disciple of that guru, but it seems it also happens the other way around, that people are soliciting disciples quite openly, saying, you know, you should be my disciple. Here, Vasudeva Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is in effect doing that, saying, you have taken shelter in your sannyas of someone of a kind of second class sannyas order. Bharati, one of the 10 Dashanami classical orders of sannyas from the Advaitavada tradition, was apparently considered to be second class. Now, this is interesting because here is Sarvabhauma. He is himself not a sannyasi. He is a householder. He is a Bhattacharya. But he's saying, you haven't been properly educated. Let me help you out. Let me fix that for you. And Mahaprabhu is saying, yes, let's do that. You're absolutely right. I am really a very uneducated person, and I want to take full advantage of your very high qualification as a teacher of Vedanta. To me, Jagat Guru, Sarvaloka Hita Karta, Vedanta Parao, Sannyasira Upakarta. Okay. And then we know the story, what happens. He proceeds to instruct him day after day after day. Significantly, perhaps, it's said for 7 days, as Maharaj Parikshit heard the Srimad Bhagavatam for 7 days. After which, 7 days of complete silence, Sarvabhauma asks his student, what is wrong with you? Students should ask questions. You are not asking any questions. There should be some exchange, some interaction. I'm finding this myself. University of Florida, sometimes it's hard to get students to interact in my classes. So, as we know, then Mahaprabhu responds. He says, well, I didn't really have anything to say because I really don't feel that what you had to say about Vedanta made any sense. I mean, Vedanta makes perfect sense to me, but what you're telling about Vedanta doesn't make any sense at all. So, what an outrage. And this is portrayed very nicely in the film. I found this section of the film done in a very wonderful way. Moving along on our theme of Mahaprabhu being students, and I should finish quickly. The next famous case is Ramananda Roy with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asking Ramananda Roy questions. And Ramananda Roy is answering, but Mahaprabhu is continually dissatisfied with the answers he's getting. He's asking him to go further in the understanding of Krishna consciousness that he is providing. He's starting essentially with Sarvadharma and Parityaja, the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, and Mahaprabhu is saying, that's okay, but there is more. And his function in this case is simply to prod, to push. You can say more. You can say more. This is really the dream of the teacher, is to have the student say, that's okay, but tell me more. Usually the student is saying, okay, I've had enough. It's time to leave now. Again, as my students do, when the 50 minutes of the lecture period are over, boom, they're out. They don't want to know more. You know, do they come for office hours? Not unless they realize that the time is ticking by and they haven't prepared for the exam or they haven't written their paper and they're desperate. So the teacher wants the students to be inquisitive, and Mahaprabhu is taking that role as an inquisitive, as the ideal inquisitive student, prodding Ramananda Rai to speak Krishna consciousness to its highest, or one can say deepest, level. And Krishnadas Kaviraj tells us that they met over several days. And I've always wondered about this, because the account we have from Krishnadas Kaviraj, if it's from several days, would seem to be a summary of their conversation. If they spoke several hours over several days, that would have, if it were recorded, that would have been several volumes. So we can wonder at the detail of that discussion, which we are getting a summary of. While we're speaking of Mahaprabhu in South India, we might recall that at one point it's mentioned that Mahaprabhu meets Lord Shiva. We don't get any detail at all about that meeting. It is described as being a very confidential conversation. We don't get any, you know, Mahaprabhu said, Lord Shiva said. All we can do is imagine what that exchange might have been. Was Mahaprabhu teaching Lord Shiva? Was Lord Shiva teaching Mahaprabhu? Or were they acting as equals, so to say? Were they relishing Krishna Katha together? Were they joking together? Was Mahaprabhu arguing with Lord Shiva? We can only guess. But one guess that I'm making in this context, sorry for that, but a guess might be that Mahaprabhu would have urged Lord Shiva to speak to him again as a teacher. Then coming back north, and I'll finish here, although one could speak of more incidents, when Mahaprabhu meets Rupa and Sanatan, and they, of course, approach him as guru from the very beginning, still it's the case that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepts advice from Sanatan Goswami about not going to Vrindavan. It seems that the followers of Mahaprabhu are conspiring against Mahaprabhu to go to Vrindavan, because they know if he goes, he may not come back. And so they find every possible excuse to detain him, to tell him this is not the best time of year, we have this or that festival coming up, just stay a few more days, distracting him in this way. If I'm recalling correctly, it was in Ramakeli that Sanatan Goswami advised Mahaprabhu against going to Vrindavan in the particular situation he would have been going, namely with a large crowd of followers. He says, this is not good. You don't go to Vrindavan with its large crowd. And so from that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed. He said, yes, you're right. This is good advice. And many, many occasions are there where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is seeking the advice, the direction, one can say, of his own followers. He is, in effect, taking the subordinate position to his own followers, and in this way, teaching what it is to be a follower, what it is to be a student, what it is to be servant, and thus he is the perfect servant for which we recognize him as Mahaprabhu, as the great master. So this is one of the great paradoxes of our tradition. Okay, I'll stop there, and maybe you want to churn this a bit and recall something of these master-student relationships, or maybe you have some question. Yes. Is there a microphone? I've never heard any specific explanation of that. Who is Keshava Bharati in Krishna Lila? Can anyone remind us? Do we have a mention? He must be mentioned in Kavi Karnapura's. That would have been Gangadas. Oh, that's Ishvara. Okay. Instead of Bharati. Right. Okay. That's a good point. Yeah. They won't pay any attention to you. Yeah. Right. Very good point. So, now Puri, Ishvara Puri. And Puri was one of the Dashnamis as well, wasn't it? But still, he was seen, he was recognized as a Vaishnava, and therefore, taking your point, well made, it might still be added that it seems to have been the case that by that time there were two divisions of the Dashnamis. The one side of them tended to be more Mayavadi and the other more Vaishnava. And this has been one way of explaining Sridhar Swami and his commentary on the Bhagavata, that the those who were more devotional, who were bhaktas, were followers. They still saw themselves as followers of Shankara. And yet there was this kind of division that developed. The only other point I would make is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is engaging certain of his eternal associates. And that's why I was wondering who Keshava Bharati is identified as in Krishna Lila. So we understand he's going about his pastimes, meeting those associates who are his associates in Krishna Lila. And that would be another way of explaining this. But not to diminish this point that you're making also. Yeah. Yes. I'm sorry, I missed that point. Keshava Kashmiri spoke 100 verses. That's what it says. Yes. Okay. All right, whatever. Verse 40. Yeah.
But in your 64 bars, you mentioned the husband of...
Yeah, yeah, no, I think he just wanted to make the point of which number was the verse. So you're saying 40, you're saying 60, whatever. I'm saying it doesn't matter. Yes, we agree on that.
When as a Vishnu Swami, he came to
okay. Yeah. Right, right. Yeah, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives another dimension to that. It's a kind of similar point of desiring to meet one's eternal associates and playing roles of being in a position to be humiliated. Yes, like Advaita Acharya, he was crying for the chance to become seen as subordinate, to be recognized by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as his subordinate, right? Although he was 52 years older or whatever. He was several years older than Mahaprabhu. Yes, something else.
But then if somebody asks you a question, you say you should recognize the potential of the mother of Nukuri when he embraced
Oh, that's very good. So Ishwarapuri was also exhibiting that. Okay. Right. Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned Madhavendra Puri because, as you said, today is his disappearance day, Madhavendra Puri. Yes. Shri Madhavendra Puri ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Gaura Premanande.